Blog Talk Radio.
Now we've all got to realize we have come out with waves of goodness are rolling. By the kindness is rising. Rays of happiness blazing. Dawning of a brighter day.
Greetings and blessings, blessings, greetings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're tuned into blogtalkradio.com in the higher frequency, the inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. Soul Class 463, Thoughtful Soul Garments, presentation number 4. Blessed is our Creator, Bracha, blessing, and Shalom, peace upon the human family. Experience. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting live right now at 9:31 a.m. on this day, April 2nd, 2015, Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unifying Souls Actually. Program content will focus upon the soul garment of thought with the intent of supplying for our blessed listeners food for thought. Our call-in number to listen, we're going solo today, not hand solo, but to show that there's more than a force, of course, the Creator, the Makar, Makor de Kula, the source of all, the Almighty Creator. And the call number to listen is 347-838-8669. And you're listening to Isaac Piton's seminal work. Here comes the time from his Generation Redemption album. And let's just bring down the music because we got to start the show. Sorry, Rav Isaac. Oh, and Rav Isaac will be spending Pesach with his beloved family members out in L.A., hopefully they'll be elevating the sparks out there. And also I want to mention, Blessed Souls, since we are just 2 days away from Pesach, the Festival of Matzah, the celebration of our first national redemption from the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim. I was reminded by a young Torah scholar in the famous Frankel Shul here in Kesser Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Gaizinski, who mentioned that the expression is Mitzrayim, and it's an expression of plurality, meaning although we went out of the original Egyptian civilization from the north of Africa almost 3,327 years ago, hold on 1 second, we are still at some level connected to that subjugation of limitations of the human mind, limitations of the human spirit, limitations of human emotional capacities, limitations of human thought, because the entire human family experience, not only the children of Israel, who I'm a part of, have not yet accessed the totality of the Torah, which can only be revealed through Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah. So at the end of our presentation, hopefully, we hope to add some, just as we did when we broadcasted on the day of Purim, almost a month ago, we hope to add, after sharing our thoughts on the Torah concept of thought, with some Pesach PowerPoints, PPP. Hopefully that will help you if you're making preparations for this holiday. It will give you some upliftment. And if you're not, if you're one of the blessed children of Noah, it's also important to know that all of us have to go out of our own personal sense of limitations based on our human perspective, which unfortunately has not fused or connected sufficiently enough with the blessed divine instruction, which Israel, we like to remind everyone, is called the Torah, in all of its written and oral Torah traditions. So here we go. Because this is a journey, blessed souls. Thought is something which is a stream. Machashava meshotetet tamid. Our thought process as a garment of our soul, our blessed souls, is something which constantly flows. There's no waking moment of your life where you are not thinking. And even if you try to shut off the switch to your thoughts, that in itself is a thought to try to stop all thoughts. So as we continue our journey on a stream of consciousness connected directly to how we combine letters of thought to letters of contemplation, osio celit bononut, or is bononus, and from that point, how to express our thoughts via our speech processing, and last but not least, actually projecting sounds from our vocal cords and our five verbal articulating organs, we have the option, or may I suggest the luxury, of taking a step back for a moment, or even a proverbial second moment, to share with you an allegory concerning the concepts of encompassing light, or oros makifim, and also internalized forms of light, oros panimim, which can be better understood by considering one small aspect of microcosmic allegorical entity, namely a human being, and what defines being human via our blessed thought experiences. Behold, hine, a thought experience affects immediately all of a person's bodily limbs, as one's bodily limbs are actively set in motion. So if you just suddenly raise your right hand and your left hand to be parallel with your right ear and left ear, is simply a reflection, a testimony, that since you thought to elevate your hands, immediately they were positioned above your shoulders and neck. You were not required to cognitively process the ins and outs, the logistics of each limb elevation, with all the arteries and muscles involved and how it interacts with your bones, your blessed bones. Your blessed thoughts just directed towards that allegorical physical movement of moving your right and left hand was not required to be processed in a cause and effect relationship between your blessed thoughts, your blessed mind, plus blessed hands and arms as they were elevated. If that were the case, if there was some form of movement, let us say, cognitive movement for the sake of hopefully whetting your appetite to learn more about this very deep and yet so close relationship between your blessed cognitive functioning and your blessed thought reception, processing, and output, where there exists an abundance and a huge amount, a literal eternal smorgasbord of teachings within the eternal hallowed halls of Panimius HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah, that some form of movement would be restricted to some degree and possibly prevent the elevation of your hands and arms the moment you thought to do so. Meaning, so when you just merely seek to raise your hands and arms, you do it automatically. Again, your brain doesn't have to make some sort of anatomical calculation that you're conscious of at that moment, because you might be doing that arm movement in the allegorical sense, doing a dance, or you're raising your hands in prayer, or you're reaching up your hands to be parallel to ears to make a gesture towards a small child or a loved one or a parent. No, you just can just freely do it, thank God, because we can only process so much information cognitively at once. And if our physical existence was only based upon solely our cognitive awareness, we would be pretty sorry in our human existence. So we see that there's an encompassing type of consciousness which is talked about, as I mentioned before, in smorgasbord abundance, eternal smorgasbord abundance in relation to our thought process and being able to direct the bodily motion of our limbs. And as we're talking about this, I want to remind you that we're plucking inspirations from a book which was a collection of elucidations by the Tzemach Tzedek, not done by him, but by Hasidim in our generation, followers, the devotees of Lubavitcher Rebbe, one of which is actually the Rav of our shul, the famous Frankel shul, Rabbi Moshe Nissim Vavolsky, kol hakavod to him and all his chevra, when they were, I believe they were in Kollel, in rabbinical seminary, so to speak, postgraduate school, here in Crown Heights, and a bunch of younger men at those times, young rabbanim, rabbis, were given the arduous, difficult, and self-sacrificing task of putting together this collection of books called Sefer Likutim, which again I recommend for those of you who can access the Hebrew. If you want to get an encyclopedic elucidation of various concepts in Torah according to Panimus Torah, the inner dimension of Torah, it's something that you can well worth invest your money in, and you will reap many benefits cognitively, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, whatever you want to say. So the Tzemach Tzedek instructing us as we continue to pluck inspirations out of Sefer Likutim instructed us that a thought process exists which encompasses all of our bodily limbs. Therefore, a thought to move an arm, to pick up a utensil, a leg to drive a soccer ball, say 20 yards in flight, occurred not as a cognitively driven outcome, but rather tapping into those quality of letters of thought, osios hamachoshavim, which brought about the two brief outcomes mentioned above a couple seconds ago, which were basically, again, to raise the hands to be parallel with your ears, both of your right hand parallel to one ear and your left arm parallel to the other ear. Yet, after asserting all of the above, we remind ourselves that clarification is needed concerning the blessed human experience of thought. Also transpires via being aware that the essential containment area for human thoughts and where such thoughts are revealed are simultaneously dwelling within the blessed human mind, which is Morkav, is composed of one's right brain processing, one's left brain processing, and one's back brain processing, corresponding to Chochmah, wisdom, Bina, understanding, and Das, and knowledge, or the ability to go deep into the essence of wisdom and understanding. When human thoughts are revealed within the human mind, we are engaging in an awareness or quality of Oros Panimim, or Or Panimi, light, an inner light in its quality, which is internalizable as it is a byproduct of its revelation. Yet this is not a contradiction to the Oros Makifim, the Or Makif, the encompassing light, associated with the encompassing empowerment of thoughts, that such simple combinations of letters hovering above a human being's blessed bodily limbs therefore can cause them to move simultaneously. Therefore, parenthetically speaking, a thought arises to move, for example, as we mentioned before, one leg to propel forward, is ample testimony regarding the process of the transfer of human soul energy from the realm of thought, intended to lift one's leg, in fact involves an elevation of some thought-out intent within one's mind, which allows us to clarify for our own human blessed understanding a feeling and awareness transpired within the mind and not within the leg that was lifted. Nevertheless, the equation of thought to elevate one's leg, the elicitation from thought to elevating one's leg, does not require a tarrying within one's mind in order that there transpires an order of descension of human soul energy from the thought process to the movement of the leg. Rather, thought about leg movement indicates, again, the quality, meaning an aspect of it, and the other expression, the echos, the quality in terms of the refinement or the elevation of that thought process, which again does not have to tarry in the human mind. But at this point, we're going to turn to some Passover PowerPoints, and I'd like to share with you basically three points, and we will not be, next week, hopefully at this time, will be Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we won't be doing a program. Hopefully we'll be coming back in 2 weeks, which I guess would be the April 16th, and we'll be starting a new series, which I haven't decided yet, but it's all designed to hopefully inspire you, blessed souls, to want to, actually I think we'll start to do a series on meditation, because I know that's something that a lot of people have asked me about. It's something that I've been studying by myself and with others, much more learned than I, and my faithful chavrusa, Rab David, Masod David Sabon. Hopefully we'll be moving to Brooklyn. Hopefully we can get him on in the future on the radio show to talk about this process of Hizbonanus, as it particularly is configured to the Chabad Hasidus network of consciousness. So, again, now turning to some Pesach PowerPoint. We have something called the Haggadah, which is basically a book, basically bringing us down back through the centuries and through the millennium, back to that initial Seder, with statements with one of the people who went out of Egypt, who eventually became the next leader of the nation of Israel. And his name was Yehoshua bin Nun, Joshua. And in the middle of our Seder, we are humbled by recalling from where we came from. And why we do this, blessed souls, I think on the Haggadah, is that, you know, when a child is born, a baby is born, it's a very humbling experience for the parents. But what about for the child who is absolutely defenseless, aside from the blessings that he or she have for coming into this world and for whatever protection the mother and father can provide for the newborn babe, and of course if their baby is delivered in a hospital. We are reminded of our weakness, blessed souls, the very night of our celebrating our redemption from Egypt. And this is the liturgy that we read. In the beginning, our fathers, meaning the roots of the nation of Israel, the Jewish Israelite people, Israelite Jewish people, in the beginning our fathers served idols, but now the omnipresent one has brought us close to his service. As it is said, that Yehoshua, Joshua, at the point where he was leading the 12 tribes to settle in the land of Israel, Joshua said to all the people, "Thus said the Creator, the God of Israel, your fathers used to live on the other side of the river, Terach, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served gods, other gods. And that includes even the mighty Abraham. But of course, Baruch Hashem, blessed is the Creator, he had an awakening of consciousness and he became who we know to be one of the first of the three patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And further on we read in the Haggadah, and I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, beyond the Euphrates River, because the humble beginnings of Abraham was in Babylon, and he was led, and I led him throughout the whole land of Canaan. I increased his seed and gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it, and to Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Blessed is he who keeps his promise to Israel. Blessed is he, for the Holy One, blessed be, calculated the end of our bondage in order to do as he said to our father Abraham at the covenant between the portions. Bris ben Abasarim, as it says, and he said to Abraham, you shall know that your seed will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will enslave them, make them suffer for 400 years, but I shall also judge the nation whom they shall serve, and after they will come out with great wealth. This is what has stood by our fathers and us, for not just one alone has risen against us to destroy us, but in every generation they rise against us to destroy us, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hand. So we're quite confident, blessed souls, with the current mix-up that's going on in the world today, where so many nations want to turn against Israel. We've been using this liturgy for the past millennium, and probably some form similar to it before the past millennium, because we know where we came from. We came from the other side of the Euphrates River, blessed souls. We are the nation of Israel. We were idolaters, our ancestors were, and we left that when we left Egypt, and unfortunately in the span of time, we have been caught up in it occasionally, not just the classical forms of idolatry, but the more refined spiritual aspects of it, no less hideous, because it is damaging to the soul to get involved in any type of idolatry. And that's why I love the Seder, blessed souls, because we are humbled by the fact we didn't start out perfect and we're still not perfect. We're seeking perfection. We're seeking tikkun. Now, one of the seminal events that's observed and celebrated during the span of the Passover holiday is recalling and commemorating and celebrating the splitting of the Red Sea. But there was also a spiritual implication which has been for the past almost 300 years been explored within the inner dimensions of Torah. What does it mean, the splitting of the Red Sea, on the spiritual level? So I'd like to relate to you a story about a chassid, a mekubal, a person who practiced the Kabbalah, who was well-versed in the Kabbalah and the writings of the Arizal, who was a tzaddik, a righteous soul, and a chassid of three Lubavitch rebbes, Rabbi Hillel of Parich. That one time he was by, who would eventually become the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Tzemek Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson of Lubavitch. And it was on the seventh day of Passover, the Tzemek Tzedek mentioned to him, what is this idea of splitting of the Red Sea? The Tzemek Tzedek said, it is upon each and every Jew to split the essential Red Sea as it relates to his or her own soul. And he reviewed this teaching before Rabbi Hillel, which is also, he also reviewed a teaching from his grandfather from someone called Lakuti Torah, the Hanif, which basically the Creator waved his hand, which is an allegorical depiction of how the attributes of the Creator are revealed in the creation, that he had heard from his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, the writer of the Maimer, the Hanif, from the Lakuti Torah. And the Tzemek Tzedek went on to elaborate that each person must split the sea of thoughts that are pertaining to his or her life experience. And what type of thoughts must a person split? All those thoughts which are not to the Creator. And by then, a person can walk on dry land, with the implication, once we split apart the thoughts that we possess, unfortunately, but it's part of our consciousness raising life experience and the stages that we go through, therefore we can walk onto the dry land to greet the Creator in a more wholesome, purified manner. And then the Tzemek Tzedek immersed himself in a state called Dveikus, of total attachment to the Creator. And Rabbi Hillel, who was again a tzaddik himself, could not receive anymore, because he realized he was just privy to some tremendous revelations of Torah, which I'm sharing with you now in the most nonchalant way, blessed souls, but we can just imagine when two righteous souls are together and they have this type of conversation, or one tzaddik elucidates to another, there's a tremendous light, I guess in the modern sense you would call aura, ambience, a vibe which permeates the room. And the Tzemek Tzedek basically had overwhelmed Rabbi Hillel with such a teaching. I don't think maybe it's overwhelming to us, but for some people, it might cause them to reflect and want to get closer to the Creator. Again, these are Pesach PowerPoints to hopefully stir up your curiosity, blessed souls, to whet your spiritual appetite, to want to go deeper into these teachings. And I just want to mention one thing else. On the last day of Pesach, related to the idea, Neutz Techilos on Besofon, from the teachings of Kabbalah, the beginning is wedged in the end, we see in the times of the Mashiach, there will be the fulfillment of what is written in the book of Daniel, prophecy, from the prophet Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, and the wise will shine like the radiance of the firmament, and those who make and those who make righteous teachings known to the masses shall shine out like the stars forever. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a teaching that he delivered on this subject matter, because Achron Shel Pesach is a day most mesugal, very privy to the arrival of the righteous Messiah, Mashiach ben David, Messiah son of David, that he wanted us to know, Lubavitcher Rebbe, that on one hand, from the Zohar, the Book of Shining, the spinal cord of the inner dimensions of Torah, this is referring to the fact that when people are learning from the Sefer of Zohar, the nation of Israel, and therefore the world shall be redeemed from the exile in mercies. However, the Rebbe went on to say, there is ample proof to show as well, that while that verse from Daniel was referring to the time of the redemption, the actualized redemption, the Rebbe called from sources as well, from the Baal Shem Tov, the modern patriarch of the Hasidic movement, is that the verse that the wise shall shine like the radiance of the firmament is referring to the period before Mashiach, which is basically what we are. We're on the cusp of the redemption. And there are those that would say, the Rebbe said as well, this is referring to the period. So the verse itself, as I originally mentioned in the book of Daniel, is referring to after the redemption. And there's also, according to the Baal Shem Tov, an understanding that the time before the time of redemption, that we see that there are a lot of people who are qualifying for this level of wise, people on the level of Lubavitcher Rebbe, and other great leaders of our generation, who shined out like the radiance of the stars, promoting righteousness by teaching the masses. And although we don't see the Rebbe today, or other people, great people of his, at some quality of his stature, because they have gone on to the next level of life, we can access their teachings and be nourished. And that's what I want to suggest to you, Blessed Souls, that you can get plenty of nourishment from Torah, even though the person who wrote the book or was recorded, his teachings were recording in a book, they're no longer here in the land of the living. They're in a higher level of life, as the Rebbe was once asked by someone from Young Israel, from the Hillel organization, a Jewish student organization, what happens after death. The Rebbe said, the more correct understanding of that type of subject matter is what happens at the next level of life. So that being said, Blessed Souls, we're going to end off now with a song of life, which is also connected, which I also consider to be a Pesach PowerPoint, the music, the segue ending music of Brother David Dome will help us get back home, and may the performance of today, of this music, be in the merit of his Eishes Chayil, Kaila Ben Chana, that she have a complete refuah shlema. She's in the beginning process of chemotherapy. May in the schus of that, and also of her being able to eat Bezer Hashem with the help of the Most High, on the first night of Pesach. Matzah is known as the Ochel Shel Machod HaHamanusa, the food of faith, that this should be the source of her healing. And if for whatever reason she needs additional strengthening, the matzah of the second night is called Machod HaRefuah, food of healing. And so when we are able to reunite next week, hopefully in 2 weeks, with this particular series of program where I go solo, not hand solo, but again to remind you, of course, that there is a source of everything, Creator, Blessed Souls, who is the Creator, we're able to relate good news about Kaila Bas Chana Dom. So here we go with Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, give thanks to the Creator for He is good. Hopefully we'll be listening in a way of a Havachad, one love, Gor Lachad, one destiny, Kulano for all of us, Bardarchi Nom, in a pleasant way, Darchi Shalom, in a peaceful way. Continue with the help of the Most High. Remember, Blessed Souls, you've got to be good. You are good because it's Tevet Hevla Heitiv. The nature of the good is to do good, even though it might be ambivalences that you might be feeling in your own state of intellectual, spiritual, emotional Egypt, Mitzrayim, because the Creator is the source of your existence, because you have a divine image, will help you get out in the scrimmage, to help. Hopefully one day you'll actualize the consciousness that your Tzelem Elokim is no dream. We all will be able to sing in unison, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, give thanks to the Creator for He is good. Take care, everyone. Chag U'Kosha Sameach Pesach.
Thank you. Hello.